Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father, kindle in our hearts a hunger and longing to fill our souls with your word. Once again, bring memorizing scripture to your people. So fill us that when times of dry spirits and empty souls, that wellspring of life of your word hiding in our hearts will burst forth and give us new life in Christ. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 32, verse 8, has been a part of my life for well over 20 years. I memorized that verse long, long ago, and through the years I found myself recalling that verse. At times I did not have a clear direction to go. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. And I can recall that verse, and with a trusting heart, I trust the Lord will do exactly as this verse says the Lord will do. The Lord will provide the counsel, and that is exactly what I've experienced through the years. The Bible, God's Word, is a gift for us. This gift is meant to be read over and over and over many times. This gift is meant to become so familiar to us that the words take up residence and life inside of us. Psalm 119, verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Proverbs 3, that Proverbs thing, I once lean not, trust in the Lord with all your ways, and lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will. Boy, once you get going on those memory verses, they come back. But that from those different things, hide this word in your heart. Dallas Willard, he wrote a book, The Spirit of Disciplines. And as a pastor, he said this in his book, as a pastor, teacher, counselor, I have repeatedly seen the transformation of inner and outer life that comes simply from memorizing and meditation upon Scripture. Personally, I would never undertake a path to pastor a church or guide a program of Christian education that did not involve a continuous program of memorization of the choicest passages of Scripture for people of all ages. Repeatedly seeing the transformation that comes from memorizing Scripture. Consider athletes and consider musicians. The practice and the preparation that goes on behind the scenes, the discipline and repetition to teach muscle memory in perfecting the move and perfecting the performance. Athletes and musicians know it is hard work to practice and practice. And if you have an instructor, they go, again. If you have a coach, it says, again, 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 again. Why? To get that built into you, that it becomes a part of you. And athletes and musicians know it's that hard practice, 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 that again and again and again, it pays off in the performance, on the field, on the track, on the concert stage. At times of temptation and times of trials in life, being able to bring to mind Scripture can be very comforting, very, very beneficial. First, that Scripture needs to be memorized and meditated upon. Like the athlete and the musician who prepare, Christian, you prepare by filling your life with God's Word. Memorize by rote. Build those muscle memories with Scripture, just like the athlete and the musician build muscle memory. There's no water in the water bottle unless you first fill the water bottle with water. Fill your life with God's holy word. Look at Jesus as recorded in Matthew chapter 4. This event occurs immediately following that glorious experience of his baptism, where heaven opened, a dove came down, and the voice of the Father spoke, "This is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased." The next thing we know, the next thing we read, is Jesus is led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted. Tempted by the devil, tired, weak, vulnerable, hungry. The devil comes and tempts. If you are the Son of God. Now that if question is not a question of Jesus' identity. The meaning is closer to, since you are the Son of God, you have the ability, the power to turn stones into bread. Not a question if Jesus could or could not change the stones, a matter would he make bread to ease his hunger pains. Jesus answered, quoting Scripture. The full verse, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. This is the full verse. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, whether neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. The connection to the wilderness wandering of Israel was to teach them to live on the Word of God. And that's the verse Jesus quotes, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. The second temptation, the devil quotes Scripture. Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. And Jesus answers back with Scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. The third temptation, and Jesus answers again with Scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 6, this time verse 13. Now Jesus, the Son of God, look at how he used, what tools he used or a method he used against temptation and the devil. It was Scripture, God's holy word. This should be a very powerful teaching example for us. When you battle temptation, when you battle the devil, use Scripture, use the Word of God. Let that penetrate into you. That power of Scripture fights temptation. It fights the devil himself. Jesus simply said, "It is written." What was written years ago was written in authority. Jesus did not enter into an argument about the authority of what was written and what he was saying. Jesus simply said, "It is written," and that's authority enough. The devil didn't debate what authority Jesus was saying when "it is written." Instead, the devil responded in a similar manner, quoting the Scripture, "It is written." There is an inherent authority in the Word of God. This is important. The written Word of God has inherent authority as the Word of God. That is how the Son of God, Jesus, made use of Scripture here in the desert. Doubt the inherent authority of Scripture? Why is it the Bible is treated the way it is by people and by governments that are hostile to Christianity? Why keep the Word of God out of people's hands by the force of government? Look around the world. What do godless and heathen cultures do when it comes to the Christian Bible? They ban it. They forbid having copies of it. They forbid the free sharing of the Scripture. Right now in China, this is right now in China, five Christians have been sentenced between 3 to 7 years in prison for buying and selling forbidden Christian devotional material. Four sisters in Christ and one brother in Christ were sentenced last week by the court in the northern Liaozhang province. Just a while back, a man from our area was detained for 5 months in North Korea. His crime? He left a Korean English Bible in a public bathroom in the restaurant or bar in Pyongyang. Why is it such hostility towards that Word of God? The Freedom From Religion Foundation has been asking university hotels and private hotels to remove the Bible from their rooms. If the Bible is such nonsense as they claim, why seek its removal? Why stop the handing out of Bibles from the Gideons? Years ago, during the height of the Cold War, Christians behind the Iron Curtain needed help and encouragement. A man decided to make a difference. He was pulling up to the checkpoint to cross the Danube into Romania and was thinking to himself the crossing would go rather quickly with such few cars in line before him. But each car in front of him was searched more and more thoroughly. Even removing hubcaps to check nothing was being smuggled. Any serious inspection of his car would turn up Romanian Bibles. And this is his own words. "Dear Lord, I said at last there was just one car ahead of me. Dear Lord, I said as the last, at last there is just one car ahead of me. What am I going to do? Any serious inspection will show up these Romanian Bibles right away. Lord," I went on, "I know that no amount of cleverness on my part can get me through this border search. Dare I ask for a miracle? Let me take some of the Bibles out and leave them in the open where they will be seen. Then, Lord, I cannot possibly be depending on my own stratagems, can I? I will be dependently, entirely, utterly upon you." And while that last car was going through its chilling inspections, I managed to take several Bibles from their hiding places and pile them on the seat beside me. It was my turn. I put my little VW in low gear, inched up to the officer standing at the left side of the road, handed him my papers, and started to get out. But his knee was against the door, holding it closed. He looked at my photograph and the passport, scribbled something down, and shoved the papers back under my nose and abruptly waved me on. Surely, 30 seconds had not passed. I started the engine and inched forward. Was I supposed to pull over out of the way where the car could be taken apart? Was I? Surely I wasn't. I coasted forward, my foot poised against the brake. Nothing happened. I looked out the rearview mirror. The guard was waving the next car to stop, indicating the driver that driver had to get out. On I drove a few more yards. The guard was having the driver behind me open the hood of his car. And then I was too far away to doubt that indeed I had made it through that incredible checkpoint in the space of 30 seconds. My heart was racing, not with the excitement of the crossing, but with the excitement of having caught such a spectacular glimpse of God at work. Corrie Ten Boom tells a similar story, snuggling the Bible into the concentration camp. It was as if she wasn't there, the guards just passed her by. The story we just heard about the VW is Brother Andrew, God's smuggler. Perhaps you've heard his story. The power of God's Word to make a difference. 1910, the Gospel of John made its way to the Himar people of Northeast India. The Himar people were the fiercest of fiercest headhunters. One of the fiercest group of people to be around. The Gospel of John changed them. Chunga was one of the first converts, and eventually more and more became Christian. And Chunga began praying for a son that would one day learn to read and write and translate the whole Bible into their own language. The Lord answered that father's prayer with his son. That son would go to school and would translate that Bible into their own language. But that son would go on to found the group known as Bibles for the World. Do you want a new life? Do you want to be able to handle the difficulties of life? Do you want to be able to fend off temptation? Do you want to be born again? Do you want to know the God of all creation? Do you want to know the Savior who forgives sins? Do you want to know the greatest of loves? The Bible, the Holy Scripture, that is how. The Bible is not a book like any other book. It is the Word of God. The words written have power. Power to take you from the realm of the devil, his empty promises, his lies, and his darkness, to life in Christ, redeemed, forgiven, living in the kingdom of light with Christ forever. It's the power of the Word of God. It is written. It's sufficient authority. For me, it is written, sufficient authority for you? Let's walk down the Roman road. These are all Bible verses from Romans. And hear the power of the Word of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. Romans 5, verse 12, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. Romans 6, 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 5, verse 8, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Romans 10, verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Saved. The power of Scripture unto salvation. For you, may the intrinsic and inherent authority of the Word of God come alive in your life. The way to find out is simply this: hide Scripture in your heart. Memorize the Word of God. And you will experience there is life-changing, life-redeeming, eternal life-giving power in this written Word. Listen to John, Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 31. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. The power of the written Word in you gives life because you come to know Jesus as Lord, as Savior, as Christ. Wow. the power of the written word to do that in a person's heart and in a person's life. Don't you want it for yourself? And don't you want it for as many people as you can meet and show? This is the Word of God, and it gives life in Jesus. Amen and amen.